Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crimes. Greetings, everyone. This is Ruth Frazier and Marshall Matthews with FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, here on Chris Radio. We have and wonderful guest for you today, the esteemed Cook County Clerk David Duvall Orr.
I don't usually hear that middle name.
Yeah. Welcome to the program, Clerk Orr.
Well, thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Let's start off with you telling us about your background.
Well, let's see, I'm pretty old, and I fell into teaching at a very young age. I think I was teaching college by 23 years old. And so I taught for about 11 years, and in that also brought me to Chicago. I was born in Illinois, but mostly raised in the suburbs. So I didn't really know Chicago well, but then I fell into a teaching job at Mundelein College that is now taken over by Loyola, up there basically in Rogers Park. And so I taught there, and that's kind of where I got my real underpinning in politics. As soon as I came to Chicago, like around 68, 69, I got pretty much involved in the kind of progressive independent movement. And so while I was teaching, I was active in that way. And then, I ran a person's campaign in 1975, and he lost for alderman. And by 1979, we switched. And I was a candidate, and he was the campaign chairman, and he must have been a better chairman because I won. So, and that was way back. I like to kid people. That was Jimmy Carter was president when I was first elected. And so every roughly 4 years or so, I've been elected since 1979. So, and then spent 12 years in the city council, including the famous council wars, and I had the privilege of being Harold Washington's vice mayor. And then, unfortunately, became mayor for a short while after he passed away. And then in 1990, I said, okay, it's time for something different. And I ran for county clerk and surprisingly won, because usually independent types don't win those kind of races. And so I thought I wouldn't be around that long, but I've been county clerk ever since 1990.
Wonderful. And you've done such a tremendous job in this capacity. And speaking of county clerk, give us kind of a rundown of what the clerk's office does.
Be glad to. And remember, there's different clerks. I'm the county clerk, and Dorothy Brown is a circuit court clerk, and of course, there's a separate city clerk. three major responsibilities for my job, the county clerk. One, of course, is you're in charge. You're the chief election officer for Cook County, and you run all the elections in suburban Cook. I also have a very important tax department where we handle tax delinquencies, and we set the tax rates for all the taxing bodies, big ones like Chicago, little ones like the Dixmoor Park District.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a big vital records department. Sorry for the noise. I'm right downtown, and there goes a siren. And the vital records department, we have about 24 million records because so many people, born here in Chicago. So people can get their birth, marriage, and death records, from us, and several other things, including notaries and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then we have an ethics department. And finally, we are the clerk to the board. And that means those 17 commissioners, we keep track of all the legislation, how they vote, those kinds of things. So it's a good job, and it has lots of different responsibilities. It's not a lot of the offices in county government are, you do one thing, the treasurer's office or the assessor's office. But ours does a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a very important event coming up during the month of March, and we want you to tell us all about it.
Well, it's another election time, and as someone who has both studied and had a lot of experience now in elections, I do want to remind people that, I can't guilt trip people in voting,
mm-hmm.
but it is important to remember, if you have time to follow politics, even though it can turn your stomach at times,
mm-hmm.
It really is about trying to protect people and trying to help people where possible. So voting can be extraordinarily important. A lot of times people get frustrated by what they see. But around the country we see lots of interesting things going on. You see Virginia just had a big change in who their state legislators were.
Yes, they did.
And the result in that case now is Virginia is actually going to pass legislation to have what we call Medicaid expansion, which means 400,000 people who presently don't have health care insurance will get that. So there are times when politics can really do good things. I like to think back of the short time where Harold Washington was mayor, mm-hmm. and a lot of changes were made. Now, again, it was a crazy political time because the old guard was not happy about Harold Washington. But my experience on it was very positive, meaning there's lots of good things came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's a big election, and it's a primary, and it's a challenge because a lot of people don't like to be identified by a party.
Right.
And we understand that. So, again, when you come in, I try and tell my staff, when people come in, don't say, well, are you a Republican or Democrat? No, you basically say, what would you like today? Would you like Republican ballot today or Democratic ballot? Because
mm-hmm.
voters can choose. And then they're going to select those candidates who will be, in the general election in November. Now, we have some very exciting governor's race, both in Republican and Democratic Party. We've got some very hot races for countywide office. And we've got several hot races for various other things, state rep, state senate, and a few cases Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some pretty wild referenda on the ballot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that early voting has begun
mm-hmm.
already. Could you help our voters understand what the early voting process is?
Yeah, I think there's been, let me try and explain the confusion. Early voting, when I introduced it way back in 2004, okay, and first took effect in 2006, early voting is not what's been talked about a few weeks ago. I'll explain in a minute. Early voting is basically a special thing that takes place roughly 2 to 3 weeks before the election, in which voters can go to lots of different sites,
mm-hmm.
okay? Right now in suburban Cook, there's 53 sites. The city of Chicago, there's 51. And voters can go to any of those sites, and it's extremely popular because, one, it's convenient, and number two, it's voters don't want, particularly these are voters that care a lot, and they do not want to miss election day because their grandmother gets ill, or one of their children has a problem that day, and they have to keep them home from school. So these people want to get this out of the way. They definitely want to vote. But we've had a lot of other reforms in Chicago, mm-hmm. And so the confusion, in some ways, is good. The confusion is we have lots of ways for people to participate before Election Day. And so the early voting sometimes captures all that. So the best way to think of it is early voting is that thing that happens, in this case, started yesterday, 2 weeks before the election. You can also vote by not going to the polls. You can vote by mail. Everybody has a right to do that. But if you plan to do that, please don't wait. Send your application in now, because we have to, you've got to send the application to us, then we have to mail you the ballot, and you have to mail the ballot back. So don't wait on that. In fact, another new thing that we have is you can request that absentee ballot online.
Mm-hmm.
Just to help people can register online. That's really, it's much more efficient and it's faster.
Wow, okay.
But also, we have something called grace period registration and voting. And right now at all those 104 sites I mentioned, 53 in suburban Cook, 51 in the city of Chicago, in all of those sites, grace period is going on along with early voting. And what that means is, let's say you didn't get registered, you can go to all those sites and register and vote at the same time. So that's why there's confusion. There's a lot of things taking place, you know, before the traditional early voting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Now, I understand that for our audience, that there are assistance. If they want to come into a polling place, there are different machines that they may use that might help them, because they may be differently abled than others.
Right. Well, there's a lot of different things, okay? Remember, one of the things that when I talked about introducing early voting back before 06, 06 is also when we got the new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the, a big push for the new equipment, as you know, is that there was a national, very strong movement among disabled organizations, okay, that fought for people who have various disabilities. And so part of seeking the new equipment was equipment where a blind person could vote, for example,
mm-hmm.
or equipment where someone who does not have the dexterity, let's say, for example, in their hands that others might, that they could also vote. So one, the new equipment allows us, you know, we're not as far as we want, we're also getting new equipment again, okay, that'll even be better. But, you know, so one is that the equipment that we got in time for the 2006 election, we've been using ever since, is much better than the old punch card system in providing ways for people that have disabilities, like the blind, for example, to be able to participate, ideally without help. As you know better than me, and many of the founders of this movement say, well, I might love my wife, but I don't want anybody voting for me.
Right.
I want to make sure I can vote. And so sometimes it's a little complicated, it's a little tedious. For example, if you don't have sight, what you can do is you listen, and they will mention the name, Smith, Jones, and then you pick one accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is there's been a lot of advances, and hopefully there will be lots more. And I think the new equipment that we're in the process of purchasing now will be another step in the right direction. Because one of the key things for people, particularly if they have a disability or particularly if they're blind, is they want to make sure that they know exactly how they voted and no one else can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the new equipment will be even better able to do that than what we have now.
Excellent, excellent. And you know, many people are worried about the security of their vote these days with the hacking and the so-called Russian interference and various things like that. People are starting to worry about whether or not their vote is actually being counted correctly. What are the safeguards that you have placed in place?
Well, we're worried too, but we think we're on top of it. There's a lot of things that we're doing. In fact, we just someone from Homeland Security was here today. We've been working very closely with Homeland Security and the FBI now for, I don't know, a year, more than a year, maybe 2 years now. And my director of elections is a young person that is actually becoming nationally famous for the work he does. And we just put out a white paper analyzing what needs to be done both here and around the country to protect ourselves. We have a lot of different things that we do. For example, here in Cook County, we do forensic testing.
Mm-hmm.
Forensic testing basically is a fancy way of taking a picture, in a way. It's a picture of all of the software before you prepare it, when you're preparing the ballot, after the ballot's prepared before Election Day, on Election Day, and after Election Day. And by taking those pictures, We believe if someone attempted to institute malicious software into our system, we could capture that. Okay. Also, in working with Homeland Security and other organizations, we do constant risk assessments. We start with the assumption that people are going to try and hack, and they may be successful. So we always want to find out, if that happens, what do we have to do to recover? Okay, and to make a kind of a long story short, the good thing about here in Illinois and the good thing about our equipment is there's always a paper record. So if something bad happened between now and March 20th, and we are always prepared, that we could recreate the ballots. Because all those people who vote on what we call the touch screens, mm-hmm. electronic voting where you kind of touch the screen and so forth, the official record is still the paper there. Okay, so we have that paper, we could recreate the election. And for those people that vote on what they call the paper ballots, you know, the kind of long paper ballots, we have all those ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, kind of looking at it kind of backwards first, mm-hmm. is by having that paper, we protect ourselves. And in fact, that when we do get the new equipment later this year, that equipment will be more advanced than we have today, and it will be all also paper-based.
Mm-hmm. Well, if someone has not registered to vote, you said that the grace period voting exists now. What would they need to bring with them, and where would they go?
Well, first of all, they'd go to any of the... If you live in Chicago, you'd have to go to one of those 51 sites. There's one downtown and one in every ward.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in suburban Cook, you'd have to go to one of our sites. And those are the 53 sites that I mentioned, 51 of them out in the suburbs. We mm-hmm. try and put them where the biggest city is and so forth, and that's all online. You can find that. What you need to bring is a two-piece identification, one of them with your current address. Okay. So what we really need to know is who you say you are, and we need your most updated current address. So some people might have moved most recently, but they might have a mail from a new phone bill or a new mm-hmm. gas bill or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the requirement. But so that is taking place now. Every day between now and March 19th, the day before the election, that's taking place. We call grace period registration and voting. We also passed a new law, which helps us further, and that is, if none of that works for you, you can actually register and vote on election day.
Oh.
It's called election day registration. It's something we fought very hard for, mm-hmm. and in the last big election, over 100,000 people took advantage of that.
Mm.
See, it shows how much there's a need. These are not people that are trying to shirk their duty, and I don't want to register. These are people that live in places like Cook County. They're very mobile. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of people move all the time. And they don't sometimes realize, well, gee, I just moved a few blocks. Why would I have to register again? Don't you have all my data? By the things that I've just mentioned, along with our passage of a law called automatic voter registration, we're making it much easier for people to move and stay registered without doing all that extra paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's all one needs to do. I encourage people not to delay. But go right ahead. If there's a day that seems fine, go to one of these sites that I'm mentioning, get registered and vote. But remember, if you're doing the grace period, when you go into the register, you also have to vote that day. You can't come in tomorrow and register and then come back another day. So the thing about grace period registration and voting is you go and you register and vote at the same time. And if you do wait to election day, which I'd encourage you not to, but if you do, that's your right, you can also register and vote on election day. But if you do that, you have to go to your home precinct. That's the one difference between election day and early voting.
Okay.
So you go to your home precinct because you need to be in the right precinct for your vote to count.
Now, where would we get that information? Is there a website that we can go to?
Yes. For us, for my office, Suburban Cook, just go to cookcountyclerk.com. You could look for under early voting, it'll also then explain... you know, this grace period registration and voting, what you need to do, and it'll show you all the sites, like the 53 sites I mentioned. Or you can go to chicagoelections.com if you live in the city of Chicago.
Okay.
And the same thing, all of the jurisdictions in DuPage and Lake and other, they generally have pretty good websites with a lot of information about what you do. By the way, speaking of websites, I want to mention something you're probably going to ask anyway. But, you know, we've got a lot of talented people here in this office, and they come up with creative ideas. We have something new that tells voters, who they, when they look on the website, how long the lines are at these 53 different early voting sites in suburban Cook. It's kind of like if you're driving in your car and you're using your phone, and it's like it's red, you know that's going to be slow. If it's green, you know traffic is moving well. Well, it's a similar kind of thing, and that way, now, most people are not going to pay a lot of attention, but let's say you live up near Evanston or Skokie. You've got three choices up there. You can go to the Evanston City Hall, you can go to Skokie City Hall, or you can go to the Skokie Courthouse. And if you, now, I don't think the lines are going to be horrendous, but as we get closer, the last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, March, what is that, 17th and 18th?
Yes.
You might have bigger lines, and so you could look at that and choose to drive 3 miles further because you think there's little line.
And but, that's called the early voter wait time viewer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just one of the, remember, technology, there's a lot of things we can do with it. And, something else, speaking of that, and then I'll drop the technology stuff, is something else that we developed last year, and we're expanding it, is called the, we had a lot of different titles, but it's Running for Office Starter Kit. Remember, in these like local elections particularly, what's going to take place next year, thousands of people run for these offices. Now, we still have a lot of people running this year, but next year is even more because you get all the local people running for school board or library board or park board or alderman or trustee and so forth. And so we wanted something, because we would encourage people to run for office, something where you could look online and get everything you needed to know if you wanted to be a candidate. Sometimes it's pretty challenging. So everything is all on one site. It can show you everything you have to do to become a successful candidate. And I shouldn't say successful, to get on the ballot, because we certainly can't guarantee that you'll win. But anyway, that's worked very well. Hundreds of people took advantage of it, and we'll be expanding that in the future.
Well, also online, if I'm not mistaken, Clerk Orr, we can get a synopsis of what each candidate submitted of a description of themselves.
That's right. You know, that goes way back. Way back when, I remember I first started in this office in late 1990, and we always wanted to have a voter's guide like they have in California, but that wasn't the law in Illinois. So a long time ago, we teamed up with the League of Women Voters, and we did an online viewer's guide, okay? And it's exactly that. Those candidates who want can write 500 words about themselves, and it's important because you don't know all the candidates, particularly when it comes to some of these folks you never heard of.
Right.
And so you can go online and look at that. Also important about going online is people like to know what they're voting for. So you can go online, both if you live in the city of Chicago or in the county, in the Cook County, you can go online and you can see your virtual ballot. You'll see the candidates and the races that you get to vote on. Okay, so sometimes, you know, one district might have a state Senate race, but yours may not. Otherwise, most of the races are pretty similar, but you can see that, and that helps you. Oh, wait a second. What's this thing called, the Water Reclamation Board?
No.
Okay, and understand how that's another government agency, and that's a little different because there you can vote for up to three candidates. So I think people feel more comfortable when they can look at things ahead of time, of course, unless they've been voting forever and they know all this anyway.
Now, we're speaking of going online to the official websites, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that would be?
For suburban Cook County voters, it would just be cookcountyclerk.com, and you can navigate, for example, right now you could look at early voting, or you could look at candidates' biographies. So it depends on what you're looking for. It's a big website, fairly easy to navigate, and the same thing before, if you live in the city of Chicago, you can go to chicagoelections.com and kind of do the same thing. And that way you can just download your virtual ballot. You can find out your exact polling place if you don't know. You can find out early voting sites, all sorts of things. And one other thing, Ruth, that we do is that we mail, and they should have arrived by now, we mail a postcard to every voter in suburban Cook. Okay. And that postcard basically says, this is where your polling place is. This is your closest early voting site if you're interested, and a few other specifics about the election.
Mm-hmm.
And that also emphasizes the website in case people want to look it up. So we try very hard. Remember, we got busy people coming and going, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure they know their options for Election Day.
Well, we've already talked about the election. We talked about so many things that your office does, and I understand that over recent history that you have been an outspoken critic of some of your fellow office holders and their processes, meaning the assessor's office. Could we get you to elaborate on some of your concerns there?
Well, I think people probably know. Usually I'm not terribly involved in other races. Of course, this year I'm not running myself. But historically, as county clerk, I'd have to run. You know, and of course, I would run a Democratic primary, and Republicans run a Republican primary. But I've become very dissatisfied with our current assessor, Mr. Berrios. I said earlier, part of my job is prepare the tax bills, okay? Mm-hmm. And everything we do is very transparent. It's very factual, okay? The only thing that messes it all up, which we rely upon, is the assessments we get from the assessor's office. And without going into a lot of detail, I would just say that I've been extraordinarily disappointed because there's been all these studies over a number of years here about how bad the assessments are and how so many people are being hurt by that. Mm-hmm. So many people, particularly in African American, Latino areas, that are their assessments are higher than they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the big fancy property downtown, sometimes millions of dollars assessed less than they should be. And to make matters worse, there's an awful lot of misinformation coming from the office, and I have to work with them, and I don't like having to do this, but I've met this wonderful, young, talented guy named Fritz Kagi, who's actually lives in Oak Park, but he's from Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
His grandmother was in the FDR administration. His mom marched with Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. He's basically a lifelong Democrat. And he was a very successful businessman who said, you know what, I'm going to start giving back. And it's kind of tough to go from a successful businessman into the rumble-tumble politics in Chicago. So he's doing it. I think he's going to win. He's very smart. He's very decent, okay? And the nice thing is that this office, it doesn't need legislation to change. There are models that Mr. Berrios bragged about 4 years ago. He said he was going to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now today we realize he never did, and now he's making fun of those models.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some wonderful people out of University of Chicago that helped create models when this problem was discovered about 7 or 8 years ago when Jim Houlihan was the assessor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the problem is they promised they were going to do something. They did nothing. They blame everybody else. They don't take responsibility for their failures. And besides that, you know, I'm tired of the old politics that dozens of people on the payroll, I mean family people,
mm-hmm.
He basically ignores all the laws the rest of us have to follow, like how you take political contributions. He basically says those don't apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just frankly tired of it. So I'm stepping out, and I think this Fritz Kagi is great, and I think he will be a shining light in Cook County politics in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the assessor's office will come into the 21st century.
Okay. Well, Clerk Orr, we only have a couple minutes left, and we would truly appreciate if you could share some of your concerns about the state of our democracy right now.
Well, okay, there's good and bad. I mean, there's wonderful people doing things, and there's a feeling out there. There's people that are getting active we never heard from before. So that's the good news, and you see that in some of these elections. And I don't just mean whether Republican or Democrat wins, but when you see extra excitement and people who didn't run before running and people who weren't involved before get involved, that's good. My biggest concerns about our democracy, and remember, democracies are hard to build and hard to hold, okay,
yes.
Is number one, the money in politics, and number two, the voter suppression.
Yes.
And again, no offense to our billionaire candidates, but see, here's what I'm not blaming individual wealthy people. That's fine. But we need a system. And when you say that people with billions can start campaigning a year and a half before the election and put on ads about how wonderful they are. Mm-hmm. Well, an average person, one of your listeners, wants to run for office. They don't have $1 billion to do that for a year and a half. So these are the things we need to look at. How do we not make money something which encourages bad people or good people to stay out of politics, which tilts how we make public policy instead of what the voters want, but what the powerful few want, or when we now have these campaigns that are utterly way too long and filled with nasty commercials that you really can't believe. Okay, mm-hmm. So those are the problems with money in politics, and it all got worse when the Supreme Court basically said, one, you can hide money, and number two, it can be unlimited.
Wow!
And you've seen what happens now. I think one of the newspapers, might have been the Sun-Times, had an article. I think it was just yesterday, and it said four billionaires accounted for, I don't remember the percentage now, but for most of the money contributed, four billionaires. In this case, four Republican billionaires. No, I take it back because it included Pritzker. It was Rauner, Pritzker, and two other very wealthy individuals, one of them Mr. Griffin, who accounted for most of the money raised in politics. Four individuals.
Wow.
Okay? And so, again, people may be rich because they did good things. I have no problem with that. But as a system, we can't let something that then drowns out the voices and wishes of many other people who don't have that kind of money. So that's important. And then the suppression you're seeing around the country when a particular party doesn't feel like they can win fairly, and so they pass all these laws. And it's a great concern to me. There are good people trying to fight it. There's some wonderful legal organizations that are stepping up.
Well, I would like to, one, thank you, Clerk Orr, for your time and for your expertise and for what you've done to build up our community. Over the years, you have been known as someone who cared more about people than about the politics. And we see again in what you just said that you do care more about the people and the process being fair than you do about the political parties and winning. So we would like to thank you. The FACT organization is here to help build communities and strengthen nations through promoting exemplary public service and volunteerism, one that Mr. Orr is a great representative of. So please join us next week at the same time on the same station, and we promise to have a very exciting and lively discussion for you, Chicagoland. Peace and blessings be with you, and good night, Chicagoland.